Blog Talk Radio.
Speaking gal is
cunning, or trickery. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are opened to their cry. The cry of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And save such as have a contrite. A contrite means a regretful or guilt spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. Condemned is usually punishment of some kind, in prison or death, or people stay away from you. The Lord redeems the souls of his servants. Redeems means to recover or to get back. And none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. I have read to you in its entirety the 34th Psalm. Now, let us have a word of prayer. You sheep, look up to heaven. Look up to God. Don't look down. I think that looking down is looking down to the devil. That's what I sometimes think. So I want, as I say a prayer, sheep, I want you to look up and just say a prayer, a word of prayer. If it's just help me, Lord, I thank you, God. Amen. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for this beautiful looking day in Detroit, Michigan. And I thank you for keeping natural disasters away. Thank you for allowing us, your sheep, an option to choose life instead of death, to choose following your way instead of going the way of the world. We come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts. This is the day that you have made, and let us sheep rejoice in it. We thank you for caring for us and loving us and blessing us in all prosperities, such as good health, sane mind, wealth. I pray this prayer in your son's name. Amen. This is the Feed My Sheep Show. I am Sandra Harris, your hostess. Welcome. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Sabbath is the only day that God has commanded. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You'll find that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, I think. We are reading from the book of 1 Peter. I want you to have your Bible, you know, your King James Bible. That's the one that I read from. Pen, pencil, notepad, paper. In case you want to write down something that's read or something that I say, you'll have the ability to go and check your notes. Also, you have the option to go to Blog Talk Radio and find the Feed My Sheep Show and listen to this program or any show that I have read over the past year and a half. Let's start reading 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Oh, excuse me, I'm just remembering. I also want you to have your cold glass of water. Just in case you may need it. I needed a cold glass of water a few Saturdays ago. Chapter 4, 1 Peter. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should have the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust. And lust means to have a desire for something, a strong sexual desire, lust of men, but for the will of God. And let me read verse 2 again. That he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, and Gentiles are non-Jewish people, when we walked in licentiousness. And that means lacking moral sexual conduct. You're not disciplined in your sexual conduct. That's licentiousness, lust, drunkenness, revelries are like your noisy festivities, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. That's doing nasty, detestable things. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation. And that's like waste of time, wasting of money, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And that is true. Take it from me. I got sick in 2008, and I was sent before a judgment council. I'm writing about that. I've been writing about it. I just don't seem to get it done. But you will go in front of a judgment council. I was sent back. You can believe that if you want or not, but I'm telling you the truth. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead. And I'm thinking that Peter, when he's saying dead, he's talking about the people who are lacking in knowledge, not your death where you just go into the ground and don't come back. And while I'm saying that, if God has given you an assignment, do it, because once you die, you don't have that opportunity, and you may not have the opportunity to come back, as I did once. And I'm back. I'm talking to you now. You're listening to Sandra Harris. Let's start reading at verse 6 again, chapter 4, verse 6. It says, for this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious. My other Bible says, be sober and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent, that's passionate, be passionate, have passionate love for one another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it. Remember, you don't know when you're going to go. And if you have not been obedient to doing your assignment, once you're dead, you can't come back. And you may not be given a chance to come back. So if you have received a gift, now it says here in verse 10, it says, each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards. And a steward is a person who looks over something. For instance, if you have your checking a bank account, you look over, you check to see what you put in, how much you put in, and when you take out and how much is taken out. You're managing that account. It says, be good stewards of the manifold. Manifold means many, grace of God. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle or the call of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion. Dominion, that means power, forever and ever. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you. And that's true. I've just gone through one. And I'm going through it. As though some strange thing happens to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached, or someone disapproves of you for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. That's speaking evil, or he is cursed. But on your part, he is glorified. So when you go through something, when you go through your trial, you are blessed because you are going glorifying God. Just be steadfast. Try to understand it and move on. And that's what I'm doing. I'm moving on. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. You hear that? Abortion people? Do not abortion. Those doctors and those people who are aborting people. Peter is saying that Jesus says, or the God says that you are, let none of you suffer as a murderer. So do not go and abort your fetus. Keep your baby. He also says, let's start at verse 15 again. It says, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Whoa. And if it begins with us, first? What will it be? What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now that reminds me of James chapter 2, verse 10. If you stumble in one law, and he's talking about the Ten Commandments, you have broken all of them. And this is where I disagree with churches being a Sunday church. I have left my Sunday church because of that reason. I know that Jesus or God has given us commandments, and we are to obey those. Let's read on. Let me just say this. Sometimes I ramble, and when I ramble, I hope that I'm coherent. But churches that are open on Sundays, in my view, you are breaking one of God's laws. We have too many problems and trials that we have to go through, and that's one thing that you don't have to break. Get back into God's law. I had an ancient history class a long time ago, and it was a person named Constantine. You check it out. Constantine. He was the one who made Sunday the official day of rest. God made Saturday the official day of rest. And if you say that you believe in God and you're standing up there preaching to his people on Sunday, you are in fact breaking a law. You have stumbled. And I believe most of you pastors believe what you're reading in this book more so than I, because I am not a follower of Paul. I do not follow Paul's ministry. And that comes from that ancient history class that I took. I knew that Paul was a Roman soldier. And two, in the books of Acts, I cannot remember what chapter or what verse, but the disciples rejected Paul. So I, too, reject Paul's ministry because I know that Roman, in their society, they took their children, their male children, at the age of 6 or 6 and a half and put them in, like, the military camp. And those people who were over them choose which picked their lovers. They picked those young men to be their lovers. And whether or not you believe me, it's okay. I'm telling you what I have been taught from my ancient history class. And I've been looking for that book. I just cannot find it. Let's pick up reading at chapter 4, verse 18. I started to ramble, and I do it. God forgive me, but that's what I've learned. And what I have learned, I want to share it with you. As I go along reading this Bible, and I've read it a couple of times, but I have more insight into it now than I ever have in the past. Verse 18, chapter 4, 1 Peter, it reads, "If the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." That is the end of verse 4. Now let's start reading chapter 5. Hopefully I'll finish reading that within the next 5 minutes or less. Chapter 5. "The elders who are among you, I exhort or encourage. I am I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd of the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by constraint, but willingly. You know, constraint means by limitation, but you're not. You be willingly, not with dishonest gains, but eager, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists, or he opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt or speak highly of you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. That means to be alert, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me read verse 8 again. Be sober, be vigilant, that's be alert, because the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who he may eat. Devour means to eat or destroy. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered for a while, perfect, establish, strength, and settle you. Let me read verse 10 again. It says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion or power forever and ever. By Salvaeus, my other Bible says, by Silas, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I witness to you briefly, exhorting and testify. Exhorting means to encourage, and testifying that this is the true grace of God, in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, keep the devil away. Amen. And if it's take God along with you everywhere you go. And if it's God's will, I will talk with you next time. I'm trying to get my son to play it won't. Or I should sing. But I will not.
the road. Love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know we've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is love. He won't let you down,